This is the BrisNet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and Ed DeRosa.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the BrisNet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman sitting in for the Big A, Anthony Stabile, who's still on the mend. Action Ed DeRosa be joining us momentarily. Your hour, HRRN Nation, as we're here to talk about whatever you would like. The phone lines are open, 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. Give us a call, and anything you'd like to ask, we will try our very best to not toe the company line and give you an honest answer. When we left last week, I left with a homework assignment. Anthony and I were talking about things that we really miss, maybe that, you know, great memories we have from our younger days going to the races. And I would love to hear more of them. We had a gentleman call in last week who was saying, a gentleman on the East Coast saying, there used to be a boat that would take you from Manhattan down to the Jersey Shore during the summertime. And then you'd get off and get into a shuttle bus or a double deck or something like that, and you'd get the ride over to Monmouth Park. And it was a great way, you know, for a full day for New Yorkers to get down to Monmouth and not have to battle the traffic. I have a lot of those memories myself. I'd love to hear if you have those memories. Let's get right out to the phone lines. John in Florida, thanks for calling.
Good evening, Bobby. I want to make a good shout out to Perry Utes, who won three races today at Belterra at 67 years old and probably the fifth leading rider of all time.
And Perry Utes, by the way, it's phenomenal what he's doing. Did you see that there was actually a gentleman who was 86 years old that won a standard bred race last week?
Well, yeah, but he's just, all he is guiding the horse around the track.
Oh, come on, come on. You got to give him a little more credit than that. He's 86 years old. 86 years old.
I think when you're winning races against people that are your grandson's age at 67, and you're probably the second lead rider, and you got a 19 win percentage, you're doing pretty good. You know, I'm not taking anything away from that guy, but I think there's a big difference between the standard breds and the thoroughbreds.
Well, I won't disagree with that part. And when it comes down to it, I think Perry Utes deserves Hall of Fame consideration, just like I think David Gall deserves Hall of Fame consideration. You can't win as many races as these guys won or are winning and not be strongly considered to be in the Hall of Fame.
Do you realize his first cousin is in the Hall of Fame, and between the two, they've won 13,000 races? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
It's Early Fires. They call him the brother. They're first cousins from Arkansas.
That's phenomenal.
13,000 races they've won between them. And Early is in the Hall of Fame because Early rode at a little better-known racetracks than Perry Utes.
John, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about, you know, there's so many problems in racing, and I thought they could be easily fixed. I wanted to ask you about, you know, these medication issues. Why is it, to me, the biggest problem in this medication bonanza here is the private vets. Why do they know what they're testing for? It seems to me that if the trainers and the vets didn't know, the private vets didn't know what they were testing for, that would eliminate a lot of this medication issues.
Well,
don't you agree with that or not?
First of all, thanks for your call, John. I'm going to bring Ed in to help with this one because this is a tough subject, Ed, when you're talking about medication and testing. And I think for most of us, you know, we're just kind of clouded by what exactly has gone on in horse racing and on this category over the last few years.
Yeah, it's between the testing and, you know, I almost feel like out of competition testing would be more valuable than after the race testing. It's a boondoggle, though. Absolutely.
I don't know if I have a good answer for you, John, when it comes to the testing, because it's obviously something that I'm not familiar with. You know, it's not my expertise. I don't understand it. I look at a very bare bones, kind of very simple, a simple look, you know, look from the outside at this. I don't understand how no matter what test you do, you don't come up with the same result. I'm going to take our friend Anthony Stabile, who is on the mend right now. He, along with Andy Serling and some other people, tested positive for COVID, and he's dealing with health issues and making sure that he gets himself better and everything like that. Anthony, I think, got 6 tests for COVID. And I know that the first 3 that he got were all in the same day. He got a rapid test. He got one that gets returned in 24 hours, and he gets one that takes, whatever, 72 hours. Now, me not knowing anything, it seems to me if you get 3 tests on the same day for this virus, they should all come up with the same result. Well, the rapid test came up negative. The one that came back in 24 hours came up positive, and the one that came up 3 days later came back negative. And you just sit there and shake your head and say, oh, no wonder, you know, people like Bob Baffert and his attorney want testing to be done by different places, because apparently, you know, not everybody gets the same result as the first one, and which to somebody like me, Ed, it seems very, you know, aside from you kind of like look at it with a really, you know, the kind of a really, is this what's happening? You just right. wonder, say, how is it possible that 2 qualified or 3 qualified, you know, labs or companies or whatever testing for the same thing possibly come up with different results?
Well, and it just makes it incentivizes you, for lack of a better word, to roll the dice, because, well, if I get caught, you know, and I get to pick the lab for the split sample, that's all the more chance I'll have of being cleared. So it's definitely not ideal for the horse, honest horseman, or the better.
I don't know if we completely answered John's question there, but I honestly am not.
I don't know if there's a complete answer.
Yeah, and to be honest, you know, we try to act like we know everything. I don't know anything about this stuff. You know, this I know what I read, and to be honest, I don't believe everything I read. Kind of similar to the way when I'm reading stuff about politics. I, you know, just because it's in print or just because it said something, you know, a certain channel may have reported something, doesn't necessarily make it true.
No, everyone has an agenda.
Yeah, it's I don't know what the right answer for this is. Once again, the number 888-966-4776. Give us a call, talk about whatever you'd like. By the way, Ed, I was pulling up the PPs for this weekend. They drew for the Sunday cards at Saratoga and Del Mar and Monmouth and other places today, and they've all got great races, especially at Saratoga and Del Mar, with it being their closing weekends. There is a big name who's back in the past performances this Sunday at Del Mar, and the big name is not running. It's not a horse who's in one of the stake races. It's a horse in an A other than allowance race that you may remember named Flightline. Flightline to put it mildly, he may be the fastest 3-year-old that we saw in Southern California, and he's only raced once. He broke his maiden by 13 lengths, going 6 furlongs in 108.3 as the favorite for John Sadler. That was back on April 24th. Something obviously happened to him, because there was a break in his training somewhere. He basically took off the whole month of July, but he's come back with 5 good works at Del Mar, including 58.2, 5/8 breeze about a week ago. He's drawn outside with Flavian Pratt. They don't have the morning line yet. It doesn't seem to matter. What's it going to matter? I mean, if he runs his race, these other ones. And by the way, there are some good horses in the race. There's a horse named Escape Route, who's won his last 2 starts. Freedom Fighter, who we saw in both the San Vicente and Gotham earlier part of this year, is in the race. So it's not like there are a bunch of slugs in there, but all eyes going to be on Flightline. I hope they can keep this horse fit and healthy. You know, every now and then, Ed, you see these horses that are too fast for their own good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we never get to see what they really turn out to be. The fastest horse I ever saw, speaking of John Sadler, was a filly named Mel Air. She ran in the mid-80s. She ran only five times. She was undefeated, and she ended up getting hurt. She didn't get a hurt in a race, and she didn't sustain a leg injury or anything. There was something in her stomach, like she basically got all bound up or something happened where she couldn't race anymore. But that it's a typical one like that. And every now and then you see these ones that you don't like, you know, you be careful using the term freak, but that borderline on freakish performances, and you kind of never see them again. I hope that's not what happens with Flightline.
Me neither. Cause that, I mean, I'm trying to remember there was a filly Al Stahl had who had a huge debut. And you're right. They, they're too fast for their own good, takes too much out of them, never seen again, never can replicate that. But obviously this one certainly stokes the imagination.
Once again, the number
and
to call.
By tap it out of an Indian Charlie mare. So, you know, the debut was at six, but I mean, there's no reason this horse couldn't run on anything.
Yeah, and it'd be fun to watch and see if Flightline can start putting them together and stay healthy. $1 million purchase back as a yearling in 2019. And certainly, listen, if you're going to spend $1 million on a horse, we've seen plenty of, you know, these high six-figure, low seven-figure runners not turn out to be, you know, really great runners, and some of them really just never even made the races. But if you're going to spend $1 million on a horse, I think the debut that Flightline showed us is exactly what you're hoping for.
Yes.
to put it mildly. Once again, 888-966-4776, the number. Ed, last week, Anthony and I were discussing things that bring back like really good memories of things that, you know, we remember from going to the races that maybe don't exist anymore. And it's nothing smarmy like, well, I liked it better when the jockeys could use the whips, or I liked it when less horses were breaking down at so-and-so racetrack. Nothing like that. But things like when we were younger, having those pick six cards that you would fill out, and instead of having to punch everything in the machine or read them off to a teller, you'd simply drop them in the machine and they would spit out your pick six ticket. Or going to Santa Anita on St. Patrick's Day and seeing all the water in the fountains dyed Kelly green, and them having drawing a name of one of the patrons to come out onto the main track and throw a horseshoe a certain amount of, you know, like 20 yards or whatever it was. And if you got a ringer, you got $1 million, the St. Paddy's Day pitch. Things like that that I remember. We had a gentleman call in last week who specifically remembered taking a boat down from Manhattan to the Jersey Shore and then getting a shuttle over with a bunch of other racing degenerates to go to Monmouth Park when he was younger. And that doesn't exist anymore. I'd love for you to think about this and come up with one yourself.
All right. I got something percolating.
Okay, that's good. We're going to go to the lines right now. Tom in St. Louis. Tom, do you have a good memory for us?
Yes, I do, Bobby. Yes, I do. In fact, I'm going to give you a couple of them. The first thing I want to say is a memory as a child growing up at the little track where I went is they had a distance series. And it started out at 9 furlongs. And every Saturday night, they would add an eighth of a mile. And I'm going to tell a quick story, and if I'm too long, guys, tell me to wrap it up. But every week they would do this throughout the entire meet. Every Saturday night, it would be a race. The trainers would get points. But it was interesting that you see horses, and with the exception of the marathon, you don't see horses on a regular basis running a mile and three quarters, 2 miles, 2.5 miles. And I'm going to talk about my father. My father was the head in the whole standings and everything like that. And it's a Hall of Famer Dave Gall story. But long story short, my father had a horse that ran 2.5 miles. He put two horses in the race out of five. Foggy night. God, it was foggy. Felt like it was in San Francisco, except we didn't have a good football team in town. Just the Big Red at the time, not the 49ers. And literally, when they run through, it was one of these nights you couldn't see 3 feet in front of you. They decided to have the race. This was going to be the last race. This was the sixth on the card. They weren't going to have the rest of it. But they said for the series, we're going to have this. my father's two horses go out, you know, and come by the stands the first time on a mile track and the second time. And the third time they came down the stretch, this horse that Dave Gall had came out of nowhere and nipped my dad's horse, who'd won every step of the race, at the wire. Years later, Dave told my dad, you know what? I ducked down in the three-quarters chute after the first time we came around. I horse only ran a mile and a half. But seeing these kind of things made the fans come out. You kind of got to know the horses. You got to know this, and whether it be a distance series or whether it be, you know, kind of these things where they raced every other week or whatever. They didn't have all this. We get in a van and go somewhere else. We don't go to Ellis to run the 2 mile race. We don't go to this. We don't go to that. Literally, you had that kind of a thing. Another memory that I had as a child growing up was always, my dad took me to Oaklawn every year for the Arkansas Derby. And they 1 year had a race. The Arkansas Derby was always the last race of the card, the last race of the meet. They had some race afterwards, I remember. I think it was a contest that two guys had started off in a thing. But they had two fellas go out and go at the half-mile pole and jog or run in a foot race a half mile. And the people stood around and watched this race, and they had kind of publicized it. And while there was no pari-mutuel betting, you could find a couple of fellas, well, I'm going to bet on that guy in the red shirt. And they bet because these two guys were locally known. I don't know if one had run track and field of where it was at. But those are two memories. You know, the other one is that I had growing up was on Thanksgiving morning, you know, going to the racetrack. And, you know, you were done by 2 o'clock. They had an 11 a.m. post, but it was an abbreviated card, but you were done by 2. So you could still go home and, you know, have a Thanksgiving dinner at 4 o'clock or whatever. Mom stayed home and cooked while we all went to the track. And when we were in college, we really thought that was cool. You'd stay out kind of late the Wednesday before. You'd all get with your buddies and go to the track and, you know, maybe eat a little food to soak up the hangover or have one beer before you went and spent time with the family. Things like that, you get lost in this whole age of, well, let's bet on our phone or let's have this. You lose that touch. I even remember Churchill in the late 90s, early 2000s. Opening day, you'd get a T-shirt, or they always had kind of a giveaway, you know, to kind of make people come out. And they had even the little handicapping seminar in the morning, and on Stephen Foster Day, I'm not an autograph person, but my former boss was, and I drug him to the track the first time so he could get the connections of the Derby when Smarty Jones won it. He could get Calvin's autograph and the owner's autograph, and you went through the little table, and he must have bought 15 programs to go through the line 15 times and get the items signed and things like that. It just seemed there was a lot more personal touches. I went on too long.
No, Tom, I really appreciate it, and thanks very much for your call. Those are all phenomenal memories, but we're up against the break. You know, Ed, he specifically mentioned like the Thanksgiving Day and the early posts. You know, this is something that a lot of tracks used to do. Hollywood Park used to run at like 11 or 11:30 on that day, and people could still get home and watch football and have Thanksgiving dinner. Calder used to actually run on Christmas Day. They'd have the Christmas Day handicap. But it kind of went the way of the dodo with anyone running on Christmas Day now.
I can't imagine Christmas Day, but the Chinese restaurants and movies are open. So I guess that in some ways I'm surprised no one's tried since Calder. And Santa Anita used to do Christmas Day too, didn't it? Way back.
No, they've always opened. They've always opened on the 26th.
Okay.
They've always opened on the 26th.
Thanksgiving has certainly become a big, big day for Churchill here in Louisville, and that's a lot of fun.
Once again, you're listening to the BrisNet.com call-in show. We're going to take our first break. The phone lines are open. Give us a call. Stick around. More on the BrisNet.com call-in show right after this.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now. 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Get ready for a blockbuster weekend of racing with BrisNet.com's Labor Day Weekend 3-Day Pass. For only $20, get unlimited access to daily selections on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's a $98 value for only $20. Daily Selections is BrisNet's flagship picks product, providing full card analysis and best bets for the nation's top tracks.
This weekend, daily selections will be available for Saratoga, Del Mar, Gulfstream, Ellis, Kentucky Downs, Indiana Grand, and Arlington. Visit brisnet.com/plans now to get your Labor Day weekend 3-day pass.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals, because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front, and nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
This is jockey Julian Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the BrisNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Action Ed DeRosa on a Thursday night. It's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Forza de Oro makes Grade 1 debut in Jockey Club Gold Cup. Good things are worth waiting for, or so they say. That adage will be put to test September 4th when Forza de Oro finally makes his debut in top-level company, joining five other older horses in the initial running of the prestigious $1 million Jockey Club Gold Cup at Saratoga Racecourse. A longtime fixture at Belmont Park and one of NYRA's top three races for older horses, the Jockey Club Gold Cup was looped to the Spa this year in hopes of generating bigger and better fields than it was attracting in its customary fall spot. Looking at the Saturday field, that strategy of swapping the mile and a quarter Jockey Club Gold Cup and the mile and an eighth Woodward Stakes was met with modest results. Only six turned out, even with a free win in your in spot in the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic up for grabs. But it's a good competitive field that includes Suburban Stakes winner Max Player, last year's Jockey Club Gold Cup winner Happy Saber, and the X Factor in the handicap division, Don Alberto Stables homebred four-year-old Forza de Oro, who will be making his first appearance in a Grade 1 Stakes in a career that has included layoffs and ten in 8 months. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The September issue of Blood Horse Magazine features 154 pages, including No Easy Ride as Top Jockeys Reach Their Peak. NYRA Colony features impressive death. National Parks, integrity, safety more important than ever as Filiary Attract garners greater attention. And a sleeping giant stirs. Big change could be coming to racing in China, but how big is big? Download a copy of the September issue now from the Blood Horse Magazine app via the App Store or Google Play, or subscribe today and receive a free gift at bloodhorse.com/subscribers only. Going to be strange to see the Jockey Club Gold Cup run at Saratoga and not at Belmont Park, but should be a fun race this weekend up at Saratoga. Let's go back to the phone lines. Charles from Mississippi, welcome back to the BrisNet.com call-in show.
Well, it's good to be back, Bobby. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, my friend. Our buddy, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, is on the mend for a few weeks trying to get himself right.
Well, I know things were going too good for him, you know, with all that good stuff happened to him. I know a little bad had to follow. So, you know, that's just a horse player's luck.
But, yeah, our man can't, you know, you can't get too comfortable. That's the end of it. You just can't, you know, once you start not paying attention, that's when all the bad juju happens.
Oh, Bobby, you have a good use of the English language there. But a couple of weeks ago, I told Ed that I was going to call in and tell him a story. And, I haven't been able to call in for a couple of weeks. So I hope y'all don't mind if I give you the story.
We're ready.
Ed?
I'm ready.
Well, about 2 weeks before last year's Breeders' Cup, I started using the Brisnet PPs. Now, I'm a simple 71-and-a-half-year-old man. And I just have my pen, my Brisnet PPs, and a magnifying glass because my eyes aren't that good. And 2 weeks before the Breeders' Cup until about a month ago, my bankroll, well, let's just say my bankroll was five dimes. Using the picks y'all gave on the radio, Brisnet PPs, my magnifying glass, in the last 9.5 months, I've made 22 times my bankroll.
Holy cow.
22 times. And
that's a
this
run.
Year, my bankroll will quadruple, Bobby. So I'm just getting ready to, because I use my bankroll. I have a certain amount every year that it's how I do my money management. And it's the only thing that keeps me sane. So I keep a record of what I do, my expenses, and whatever. But I don't take my expenses out of my bankroll. So I would advise. But y'all have really helped this old man's handicap between Brisnet and I mean, anybody that's not using the Brisnet PPs is missing a lot. And you know, horse racing is so subtle. When you really zero down on that one or two horses that you really like, you know, that choice is what separates, you know. But y'all have been fantastic with the picks this year, and I just kudos to you. And do tell my good friend Anthony that I hope both of us got on the mend at the same time. And I hope he gets to feeling better, and I hope he didn't get flooded out. And y'all take care, and tell Brisnet that just keep up the good work, okay?
You got it.
Keep really appreciate the call, Charles. Thanks very much once again, boy. Ed, I was gonna recommend to him that you know you can just go into any supermarket or drugstore and get a pair of readers for you know just a few bucks, but I don't think giving up the magnifying glass is the right move for Charles. It sounds like it's working great.
When it works. And Charles, I like, you know, the times he shared some like specific what he's done well. It definitely, you know, seems like his style is he's willing to lean when necessary on maybe a horse others are, but also willing to be contrarian to separate himself. And that's the key. You know, I see it all the time, and you know, people don't like being told that their ticket structure, their style isn't going to work long term. But I have no problem betting favorites. But when you're putting yourself in a position where they're in every leg of a bet or every position, you're not going to win. And it seems like Charles has figured that out, and I'm thrilled Brisnet played a role in that.
Yeah, and you and I are big advocates, obviously, of the Brisnet PPs. I've been using the Ultimate PPs. Boy, it seems like forever. Obviously, it's not forever. But I love them. And obviously, I'm not just saying that because they're a sponsor of this show. I truly do use the Ultimate PPs, and they're fantastic. As far as, you know, ticket structure and what you were saying about Charles being able to pick and choose, I think you could say it for about everyone, you and me included, Ed, that no matter what tools we use in our handicapping, whether it's, you know, straight handicapping off PPs or watching tapes, or if you're somebody who uses, let's say, the Ragazin sheets, or somebody who uses speed figures, or somebody who buys clocker reports or whatever it is, you still have to, you know, there's still a level of you having to make an executive decision when it comes to what you're doing. I mean, if you're blindly going on, well, I'm going to take the top three from these speed ratings, or I'm going to take the, you know, any horse that was graded a B plus work or higher by this clocker, or I'm going to take, you know, any horse that runs, you know, whatever, then you're, you know, you're kind of leaving out really the human factor yourself of being able to say, hey, you know, all that being equal is fine, but I think this horse is or is not going to run a good race today for this reason. And, you know, so all those tools, including the ones that you and I use all the time, are great, but you still have to, in the end, you know, put your foot down and say, this is what I'm going to be doing.
Right. Yeah. And putting your foot down in the, you know, the specific, this is my opinion and this is what I need to happen for me to do well, is essential. And, you know, when you're using a bunch in equal weight and such in all your bets, that's, you're not doing that.
I'm going to give a perfect example before we go to our next break. And I know you're somebody who's done this in the past, where you're watching a race, and let's just say you're watching a race where five horses battle for the lead, and a favorite who's sitting behind them couldn't be, you know, drafting in behind this wall of five, slips through an opening, one off the fence, the Red Sea parted for him, and he goes on to win, not necessarily by 10 lengths, but he goes on to win, you know, in a race where really he had no chance of losing with the way it's set up. And you may say to yourself, listen, I don't care where this horse shows up next. I'm against this horse with every bone in my body when he shows up next. There's no possible way that he's going to be facing tougher and he's going to be able to win again without the benefit of this good trip. And no matter if he looks like he's got the best speed figures and whoever's picking him on top, you know, you have the ability to say, I've made up my mind. I am against this horse. I will not be using him no matter what he looks like next time. And that happens from time to time. And it's hard for people who are just simply looking at like public picks or looking at just speed figures to say, well, I mean, I have to use him a little, you know, he did run very well last time, you know, whereas you're saying, I don't care what that looked like last time. That's a mirage, that race. There is no way that's going to happen again. I'm against this horse. And that, you know, and that's something where you would be going against, like, just simply reading PPs or looking at picks, things like that.
100%. Yeah. For me, it's been a long time between drinks, but Winter Memories is one of my top examples of that. Knowing she was coming to Keeneland for the QE2, the New Yorkers loved her, you know, Jimmy Toner train, Darby Dan bred. It was just like, you know, the perfect storm of a filly who's going to take a ton of money, who is just going to be as good as others in the race. And I think she was 4-5. And, you know, I wish I had the discipline to only stick to that, because I do think, you know, that's where the edge is. But I love to gamble and definitely play races where my opinion isn't nearly as strong. But that type of opinion is 100% money in the bank.
We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll hit the phone lines again. You're listening to the BrisNet.com call-in show. I want to hear Ed's opinion on something, his memory, something that he misses from his childhood at the racetrack that he wishes was still going on today. You're listening to the BrisNet.com call-in show here on HRRN.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrisNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BrisNet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BrisNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at brisnet.com/APR. The brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Did you know half of all cats in the United States don't see a vet on a regular basis? Hi, I'm Kat Dennings, and I love cats. Like, really, really love them. Seriously. That's why I'm here to ask you to take your cat to the vet each and every year. I'm working with Royal Canin and Orphan Kitten Club in their program, Mighty Cat, the first grant program in the world to protect and care for newborn kittens. For the Take Your Cat to the Vet initiative, which encourages cat owners across the country to schedule annual vet visits. Since it's tricky to decode our cat's behavior, it is super important to collaborate with your veterinarian to uncover any potential illnesses and learn the signs that something could be wrong. As pet owners, it is our responsibility to make sure cats of all ages have a chance to live a full and happy life by providing the care they need and deserve. Visit orphankittenclub.org/mightycat to learn more.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, reminding you that Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, comes to you every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern here on HRRN. Bobby Newman joins me for racing from tracks like Churchill Downs, Belmont Park, and Santa Anita. We'll also bring you interviews with all of the players, both big and small, in thoroughbred racing. You can tune in to Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the Brisnet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman sitting in for the Big A. Action Ed DeRosa on the line. Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 888-966-4776. Before we went to break, I asked Ed to come up with maybe a memory or two of, you know, something that he remembers from horse racing, whether it's something at a specific track or something from his childhood that, you know, maybe they don't do anymore that he misses. Do you have anything for us, Ed?
I got something for you.
I'm ready.
Double headers at Northfield.
Oh, my God. What a degen. Oh, my goodness. Home of the flying turns, baby. Every 19 minutes, the place goes crazy.
When Thistledown closed, which, you know, it, as you know, used to be a fairly defined meet, you know, part of the schedule. And then when December hit, man, Northfield, I think they ran Saturday and Wednesday doubleheaders and would start racing Sunday. You know, I didn't make all of those, and I was still young, so I wasn't even a betting age. But, you know, just a good memory of going out there with Grandpa for, I mean, pretty much literally the whole day.
Who were the top drivers there when you were going out as a kid?
Keith Cash, Jerry Bookmeyer, Wyatt Irving. I think those are the big three I remember.
Of course, when I was out there, you know, Walter Case was there and Dave Hawk was there there were several others Dave Miller, obviously.
Dave
was
Miller,
there,
yeah.
Was really good there. They nicknamed him Purple Jesus for his colors. And then he took his talents out to the Meadowlands and, you know, became more of a nationwide presence and not just a Northfield guy. But,
right. Wow,
double headers at Northfield Park. That is amazing. I have not been to Cleveland since I worked at Thistledown back in the late 90s, and I keep saying that one of these days my Dodgers are going to play, you know, interleague games in Cleveland, and that will be when I go back. And a good friend, a guy that we both know, Bob Roberts, whose real name is Bob Randazzo. He was the former turf writer for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, nicknamed the Railbird. We still speak all the time, and he's a huge fan of racing and did a great job for the Cleveland paper. Unfortunately, the Cleveland paper, like so many other periodicals around the country, have kind of given up on racing.
That happened a while ago, sadly. And I'll tell you a Bob story. I remember being so disappointed in 1998. I loved Real Quiet, mostly because I bet on him to win the Derby, so like instant favorite. But I was so disappointed that Bob didn't go to Belmont to cover the Triple Crown, because that was the World Cup was going on. And, you know, no disrespect to Darcy Egan, but I mean, I grew up on Bob Roberts, and I just thought, oh, Real Quiet's going to do it. And, you know, I loved reading Bob when he went to races. And I just remember being just like, oh, man, he's not even there. He's at the World Cup, which he loves soccer. So I'm glad he got that opportunity. But, yeah, I mean, I've told Bob this. He's a big reason I do what I do.
He actually came down. We went to the Tampa Bay Derby together this year. We played golf a few times in Florida, went out to Gulfstream for a few days. So he's still thick in the game as a fan, not so much working every now and then, you know, maybe doing a little freelance stuff for covering this and that. But
he wrote a book.
He did. He wrote a book. It's basically his 50, book, like 50 great, like funniest stories that he ever wrote in racing. Yeah. And it's a really good read. I'm going to give you a story. I'm going to give you a quick story that is not in his book. I don't know if I should mention this, but I'm going to do it anyway. So I was the announcer at Thistledown, and you and I met when I was out there. I think we may actually have met when I filled in for Nick Capurro at Beulah Park one day. Which, by the way, is one of the worst announcers' booths in the history of racing. That one at Beulah—it's not high enough.
That was at Beulah not in the bottom 10% of whatever it is?
Well, they had the Twins. They did have the Beulah
Twins.
That's
true. I have their bobblehead on my desk.
Okay, well, there you go.
I'm glad
you clarified it was the head that was the bobbling part. So that's good of you to think ahead like that. But I digress. So I'm the announcer at Thistledown, and Bob is in the press box in his office. And Bill Murphy was the general manager at the time, who is now he's heavily involved with one of the wagering companies. And there's a 3-5 shot in the race trained by Heather Giglio that Jason Lumpkins is riding. And Jason Lumpkins is easily, if not the best, one of the top two, he and Mike Rowland at the time, riders at Thistledown. And horse is a horse who figures to be stalking the pace and pounce, and it really looks like he can't lose. The horse is last almost all the way around. Didn't break slowly, just last, and makes this kind of garbage can run for fourth or fifth down the lane while racing wide and nothing. And Bob calls me. He says, did you see that? And without having spoken to him before, and I said, yeah, what the heck was he doing out there? He goes, I have no idea. Well, as it turned out, we were not the only people who thought that there was something weird that went on in that race. And the stewards actually, you know, were called in to look at it, and there was a big deal that went on regarding that and regarding that rider. And you know, next time that horse ran for I think the horse was claimed, ran for a different outfit, not an outfit that was any better, I don't think, got a lesser rider on it and parked, just one, you know, one like he was supposed to the time before. And Bob and I kind of we kind of had a kismet thing right there. We hadn't spoken at, but we both, and me calling the race and him watching the race, both seen the exact same thing. Like, what is he doing on this horse out there? And it didn't seem very kosher. And I think we were right in all, you know, I don't, it was a weird thing, but we never forgot that. He's still till this day, he'll remind me, do you remember that horse that so-and-so? Yep, I remember exactly. I don't remember the name of the horse, but I remember that phone call, and I remember us saying that. And, listen, we don't try. I wasn't sure if I wanted to bring it up because you don't want to mention that there are these kind of things that from time to time have happened in horse races. We hope that they never happen again, and that certainly we're never involved with them. But this one was pretty glaring.
Pretty odd. Well, and Bob probably saw it on TV, right?
Well, Bob's the press box at Thistledown was actually right there facing the track. And, you know, as you can imagine, there's not a whole lot of press at Thistledown other than Bob. So the press box is basically his office and his
– right. You know,
I think back then he was still using a typewriter. You know, the press actually – that's another thing that was fun, listening to the press, you know, using typewriters and not even the electric typewriters. Dan Smith at Del Mar forever would continue to use those old typewriters to type up press releases or, you know, notes for to hand around the press box. Wouldn't even use one with an electric return button. Use the one where you'd slam that thing back from right to left. And those are another thing that have kind of gone the way of the dodo. I think you can find them on eBay probably right now, but that's about it.
I remember trying to think what track it was, but I mean, some of them would do the microfilm with all the charts.
That's right. Fantastic.
Microfiche.
Microfiche. Yeah. No one ever wanted to have to use that at the library. That meant you were involved in some horrible report that you had to put together, like on the history of Budapest or something like that. But microfiche in the press box means you're looking at clippings, old racetrack clippings, and that was a little bit more fun. Let's get to one more call before our next break. George in Naples, you're on the line. Welcome to the Bristnet.com call-in show.
Hey, gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, George, how are you?
Good. I noticed there's a conspiracy under every rock, but I just need to throw this out here real quick. Take me less than a minute. Everybody's kind of anointing Essential Quality as three-year-old honors and possible horse of the year if he upsets the olders in the Breeders' Cup Classic. But I gotta throw a screwdriver into bicycle spokes. Medina Spirit romps in the Pennsylvania Derby and crushes in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Doesn't he have a claim to anything?
Well, first of all, George, thanks for your call. I don't think. Medina Spirit has to crush in those races. If Medina Spirit wins the Pennsylvania Derby and wins by a nose in the Breeders' Cup Classic, how can a horse who won the Kentucky Derby and the Breeders' Cup Classic not be Horse of the Year?
I could tell you I'm not voting for him. I don't care if he wins the ARC and then the Breeders' Cup Classic. So he's not even on the ballot in my mind. I don't care what happens.
Okay, well, there you have it.
Neither is the trainer.
There you have it. So are you
– I did not vote for Gamine last year.
Okay, so it's not a – this is not a new thing for you. And I'm guessing you're saying if Charlatan would have been running at the end of the year or up for something, you would not have been voting for him as well?
Correct.
Okay, so you're holding sway that Bad Test basically trumps everything, even if it's, you know, if it could come back that the names are cleared from this, as far as you're concerned, they're not cleared and they should not even be on the ballot.
I won't say they shouldn't be on the ballot. I do think that's up to the individual voter, but in my mind, no consideration.
Okay. Well, we can talk more about this. We need to get in one more break. And we've got our last segment coming up. You're listening to the Bristnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Bristnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Get ready for a blockbuster weekend of racing with BristNet.com's Labor Day weekend 3-day pass. For only $20, get unlimited access to daily selections on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's a $98 value for only $20. Daily Selections is BristNet's flagship picks product, providing full card analysis and best bets for the nation's top tracks. This weekend, Daily Selections will be available for Saratoga, Del Mar, Gulfstream, Ellis, Kentucky Downs, Indiana Grand, and Arlington. Visit BristNet.com/plans now to get your Labor Day weekend 3-day pass.
And now an important message from Jerry Rice.
As a career wide receiver, I've been hit hard. But no training nor practice prepared us for the devastation of COVID-19. Thankfully, there is hope. Even with multiple vaccines available, we still have to work together until everyone is safe. We all win when we unite to prevent.
For more information, visit unitetoprevent.org.
Hey everyone, Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch here. Be sure to join me Saturday morning on a star-studded edition of the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern. Hall of Fame trainer Todd Pletcher looks ahead to Happy Saver's title defense in Saturday's Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup. Fox Sports and NYRA analyst Acacia Courtney previews the four greatest stakes on Saturday's Saratoga card. I go down the road to the Breeders' Cup with NBC announcer Larry Comas, and Chauncey Morris, executive director of the KTA-KTOB, discusses the impact of the KTDF on Kentucky purses and breeding, plus so much more. It's a jam-packed 3 hours on the Equine Forum, Saturday, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, on Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the final segment of the BrisNet.com call-in show for tonight. Bobby Newman and Action Ed DeRosa. Let's get back out to the phone lines. Vince in California, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Ed. Bobby, you probably know this well, how the track looked. As a kid, when I went to Hollywood Park, and people might not believe this, but we had to park our car in the barn area, and then they would bus us back around to the front. But the crazy part of it was, after the ninth race, we had to go up on the track, and they would line all the buses up right on the track, and you'd get in the bus, and it would take you back to the barns to go home. And you really couldn't leave till at the end of the day, which was kind of a weird way, you know, to get stuck if you were broke or whatever. But I'll never forget those buses.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare that is. What a nightmare that is, where you're just trying to get out of there after you've blown everything by the sixth race, and now you have to wait three more races.
That's a true story, Bobby. I'll never forget it. It was the day Bates Motel won the Gold Cup, but it happened many times. That was the good old days when they packed in Hollywood Park. So that's my story.
I'm going to bring up something that I'm sure you remember from back in those days. So speaking of Hollywood Park, just north of Hollywood Park is a building that at one point was called the Fabulous Forum. Then it was the Great Western Forum. And now I don't even know what they call it now. It's something, the Forum. And the Kings and the Lakers used to play there. Do you remember that Sandy Hawley, when for home games, would man one of the penalty boxes for the Kings games after he was done riding at Hollywood Park?
No, but I do have a fond memory. My wife, we were high school sweethearts at the time. We'd go to the Forum. They would give high school students tickets for $5. We'd finish the game, and then we'd go over to Hollywood Park, and people don't know, but they used to have harness racing at Hollywood Park at night. We'd see a couple harness races and come home. That was another nice combination Friday night that we'd do for a while.
Well, Vince, really appreciate it. Thanks very much for your call. Ed, he's not lying. They used to have harness racing at Hollywood Park. I've been there for quarter horse racing. In fact, speaking of Bob Baffert, I saw the Bob Baffert trainee Gold Coast Express run at Hollywood Park at night racing. And by the way, not the greatest area to be in at night.
Mm.
Yeah, at least back then it wasn't. I'll just say that. It was, you know, it was different.
I got a D-Gen story for you.
I love those.
Playing baseball, some travel ball, 17 and under. And we were in some tournament near Lebanon. And, you know, we're old enough that, you know, some guys went to Applebee's or whatever, saw a movie on one of the free nights. And I was like, man, Lebanon's close by. And I convinced a couple guys to go with me to the track. And they weren't running or they weren't racing, but they had simulcast. So me and, you know, these 16 and 17 year olds on a night off from a baseball tournament, gun in Fairmount harness at Lebanon, is definitely one of my bullet points on my D-Gen card.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? I don't even see any. I don't know why you didn't do that more often.
It was it wasn't a lot of people there, and we were by far the youngest, but it was a good time, and they never ID'd us or anything. So
no, they were happy to have you there.
You're exactly.
Yes. By the way, that's
place up a bit.
That's a true story. So Sandy Hawley, who of course is a native Canadian and was a fantastic rider for many, many years, and for several of those years based in Southern California, big hockey fan, and he got it worked out. I think he basically, you know, now if you're not somebody who goes to hockey games very often, there's penalty boxes on the opposite side of the ice from where the teams, the benches are, where most of the players who were not playing sit. And obviously when they get penalties, they're sent to the box. Well, they have somebody in each of the penalty boxes, both the home teams and the road teams, that basically sits there, and their basic job is to watch the clock, and then right when the penalty is over, they open the door and the player goes out. So the player's not leaving early. They're leaving right on time and that. And Sandy Hawley manned the opposing team's penalty box for LA Kings home games during portion of the 1980s.
So he did that job?
He did that job. He would ride during the day. You know, he'd ride during the day at Hollywood Park, and then game time would be at whatever it is, you know, 7-something at night. He'd have time to shower and whatever, and basically drive one block north to the Fabulous Forum and take his spot in the road team penalty box. And it was probably, you know, I'm sure he didn't need the money, whatever little that could pay to do that, but it was a way for him to, hey, I get to see a hockey.
Yeah.
I'm going to the NHL game basically and getting paid to do it, and I'm sitting right there in the front row.
I'm a little envious. I need to work a gig like that for U of L football or something.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, there's no penalty box in college football. Maybe
well, that's
you
why I said the chains.
Well, there's got to be some. You know, maybe there's. Yeah, maybe it's that, or maybe you're the one who closes the tent when they come in for, like, concussion protocol.
That's funny. Yeah, something. Dial it down.
Yeah. By the way, I mentioned earlier in the Blood Horse News update that the Jockey Club Gold Cup, it's got a short but very good field of six set to go this weekend at Saratoga. You know, this is a race – I was thinking about it, Ed, you know, what they can do. They've struggled with short fields over the years, and I was trying to think what the biggest factor of this is, and I think what it is basically that a lot of our older horses, you know, a lot of the good horses retire a lot earlier than they used to in this country.
There's that. I think the opportunities for three-year-olds basically up to the Breeders' Cup have gotten so lucrative. I mean, the PA Derby is a great one, is abominable to me. I just feel like the Travers is the end of the three-year-old season. I mean, you want to have restricted races, that's fine, but they should be grade twos and grade threes. I think the world-class three-year-old should be facing older males. And if they want to wait for the Breeders' Cup, that's fine, but there should not be grade one opportunities for three-year-olds, before the Breeders, that close to the Breeders' Cup as a prep. So, you know, I think that's had an effect. And I thought the move to Saratoga was good. I was excited about it. I think, you know, older males deserve a mile and a quarter race at Saratoga, just like the three-year-olds have, the fillies as well. Maybe it didn't work out this week, but or this year, but I like the move overall.
Well, you're never going to be hired as the marketing director at Parks with that commentary. Yeah. I'm just going to tell you right now. Ed, it's been a pleasure. Always is when we get together on this show. Really appreciate you again, and really appreciate all the callers. Thanks for joining us. Come back tomorrow, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time for Race Day, presented by Twin Spires.